So, Allison, I don't know about you, but when I go to work in the morning, it's very dark. And it's dark for you too. And I'm always kind of confused. You look up in those office buildings, especially here in Manhattan, you see there's these lights on, and I kind of make up these little stories for these people. I'm like, are you working late? Are you watching movies? What's going on in your world? Or maybe you just forgot to turn the lights off. So we might not think of this necessarily as light pollution, but there are some people who say that's exactly what it is, that too much light at night can actually be hazardous to the environment and a waste of energy. And right now, there's a global science project underway to measure light pollution around the world. It's called the Globe at Night Program. It started late last month. It's going on until the end of this week. And it's calling on citizen scientists for help from their own backyards. Here to tell us about it is Ed Gary. He's the director of the Globe Problem, pr not problem, hello, program. Hi, Ed.
Hi, how are
We're
you?
doing okay. Tell us what this word means. This is actually an acronym, right? GLOBE. What does it stand for in this case?
GLOBE stands for Global Learning and Observations to Benefit the Environment.
Okay. And tell us why leaving lights on at night is dangerous or has a negative impact on the environment. We know it's obviously a waste of energy, but what are the larger impacts on the environment?
Well, as you know, if you look in the urban area, you'll see the stars in the sky, right? Well, maybe not, because if you look up and there's light pollution there, the light obscures the nighttime sky. And this is a problem not only for humans, it's actually a problem for some of the creatures that live in urban environments, particularly those creatures that are nocturnal or go out at night. The light can distort the types of things that they're able to see at a distance, and so it can cause problems for many organisms. It can also cause problems for sea turtles, for example, who are hatched on the beach and trying to find their way to the ocean and can't get there because they get confused by too much light in the air.
So it's not that we need it to be dark, it's that we need the natural starlight, not the artificial light.
Right, and I think most people would agree that it's just beautiful to see the stars at night, and when there's too much ambient light in the area, you don't have a chance to see the beautiful stars that are there.
Okay, let's talk specifically about the program. The Globe at Night program was launched in late February, goes on till the end of this week. Explain the program. What's the objective?
Great. Well, the program is actually to raise awareness about light pollution and also have citizens around the world contribute to understanding of light pollution in different parts of the world. Globe is a program that has 110 country partners. We have schools around the world, approximately 20,000, who actually participate in programs like this. And our goal is to get citizens who live in these communities to actually go outside and observe the light pollution in their particular area and then contribute to a scientific database where scientists can actually start to get a better understanding of light pollution in cities and in urban areas.
So who's participating in this? Is it just students?
Oh, we have all sorts of people participating. We have students as young as 4 or 5 years old, and we have grandparents participating in this type of activity. Well, I'd say the majority being somewhere in the elementary and middle school audiences.
So what do these people do? They go out in their backyard at night, and how does one measure light pollution?
Right. There's a couple of ways to do that. We have a protocol online that walks you through the steps of being able to look at the night sky. We look at light pollution by observing one constellation in the sky called Orion, and that constellation is visible in both the northern and southern hemispheres at this time of year. And we have a guide to how to identify where that constellation is in the sky. And you can see three very bright stars to begin with, usually in most areas, that form Orion's Belt. And Orion is a mythological person who was created by the Greeks and put into the night sky as part of their mythology.
He was the hunter, right?
He was a
Is
hunter.
that what
Yeah,
he
he's
is?
got
I'm
the
trying to remember.
yeah, the belt, and then you can see the tip of his bow, his arrow is one star and his shoulder.
Okay.
That's right. And they have some very bright stars there. So Orion's a very easy constellation to identify. And so we look at the number of stars we can see in the constellation Orion, and we can get a sense for the brightness or darkness of the sky. The more stars we can see in that constellation, constellation, the darker the sky. The fewer stars we can see, only the brightest, it means there's more light pollution in the sky.
So that's what people tell you. They go in their backyard and say, I can see this many stars of the Orion constellation.
Right. And if they go to our website, what they can do is print out different charts that show you the different magnitudes. And then what you're asked to do is, after you've made your observation and you've located yourself, you have to know where you are in the world. You then enter your observation into the GLOBE database, and then it's visualized on a map just within a few minutes or a few hours.
Now, are you really expecting to learn anything revolutionary? I mean, aren't you expecting urban environments to have kind of bad light pollution and rural environments to have pretty good levels of light pollution?
Absolutely. That's actually what we, of course, have found. But what we're trying to do is get a baseline of data that allows students to study how urban and rural light pollution changes over time. So living in New York City, for example, the light pollution there can be characterized, and it's not the same all over New York City. There will be dark patches within the city that allow better viewing of the night sky than in others. But what we'd like to do, as people become aware of light pollution and cities create plans to deal with light pollution, we'd like to see over time if indeed that makes a difference in actually reducing light pollution in urban environments over the years.
So then you take this data and you give it to whom, and you argue what?
Right. Well, the data are available for almost anyone in the world to use. They're freely available through our website. And what we have is astronomers who study light pollution using these types of data to make studies of either their own urban environments or to do collective studies of urban environments around the world. We have a partner, the National Optical Astronomy Observatory, which has astronomers who actually look at these data and look at what the next steps are in being able to apply these data understanding light pollution.
Well, it's inspired me to go out and try to look at the stars, which isn't so easy in Midtown Manhattan, easier in my hometown in Idaho. But hey, thanks, Ed Geary, director of the GLOBE program. He wants you to get out there, look for Orion, report your results at globe.gov. You have until March 8th to do so. And Ed, we're going to post a link to the program on our website, npr.org/Bryant Park. Thanks so much.
That's great. And have fun out there looking at the stars.
Stargazing. It's a good thing to do. Thank you.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.